Hey, what's going on? This is Champ Creed.
Josh Vincent.
For Fox Sports Radio, 93.9 FM and 1340 AM. We're trying something a little bit different on this free agency frenzy weekend. Right now, we're in the heart of Chicago, downtown Chicago. And you'll hear the sirens in the background. You'll hear the music from the barbecue. You'll hear the church bells. You'll hear the ambulance. You'll hear everything. But what you can count on is hearing our analysis. So far, you know, the bomb was dropped last night, even a little bit earlier, like some people, with Paul George going to Oklahoma City. The first thing people thought is, you know, okay, Westbrook finally has some help, which that can work. But I think other people were thinking, like, once they saw who was traded, it was Sabonis and Oladipo. And they were thinking, like, what the hell did Danny Ainge do during the phone conversation to not be able to pull it off?
Right.
You know, what were your thoughts when you first heard that the trade, you know, transpired?
As you just mentioned, I mean, I was a little shocked myself. You know, everyone thought that Paul George was on his way to Boston. It was just a matter of when. But then I thought about it. Paul George going out to the Western Conference. What competition does Boston really have other than Cleveland?
Yeah.
So if you're Danny Ainge, I'm thinking Gordon Hayward is still out there. And I can definitely, you know, shoot my shot at Gordon. Why would you risk it all, get rid of some of your assets, as he calls them, you know, a Jason Tatum, maybe a couple of first-round picks next year? Why would you get rid of all those assets for a one-year rental? Because Paul George, keep in mind, he wasn't committing to Boston for the next 4 or 5 years. This was going to be a situation where he's only got one more year on his contract, just like he has now in Oklahoma City. So if I understand where a lot of people are like, oh, wow, you know, Boston should have been able to pull it off. But at the same time, I mean, the Eastern Conference is getting watered down every day.
Yeah.
And so if I'm Boston, if I can pull out Gordon Hayward, and if Cleveland, with their cap space issues, they can't really make any big splashes or, you know, get anybody, you know, seriously, you have a really good shot at Cleveland this year with Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, you know what this reminded me of? It reminded me of the Carmelo Anthony trade.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about Carmelo exclusively after this. But I remember when the Knicks wanted to get him, and they had a pretty solid team. And Donnie Walsh at the time didn't really want to, you know, his advice in the newspaper and the press was, Carmelo's coming anyway.
Right.
So don't give up any assets to get, like you said, a one-year rental. And I think Danny Ainge kind of like followed that advice, because the thing is, they offered at All-Star break, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, and a pick that eventually turned into the number one pick.
Right.
You know, which now that would have bode well for them. Especially, you know, you look at the playoffs when they needed some scoring in the half court. But I think Danny Ainge played it smart. You got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him. He decided to fold, you know, and the Boston fans, they're very eager and thirsty. They're thirsty to dethrone Cleveland. But the thing is, you don't want to mess up anything now and then regret it in the future.
For sure. And then if you think about it this way, you know, there's a lot of talk about LeBron James is going to end up going west in 2018. If LeBron actually goes west, then Boston, without question, is the best team in the Eastern Conference. You know, the Wizards, I don't see them doing anything as far as their cap space issues and woes. They may end up losing out on Porter if they're not careful. Miami isn't really looking good. Chicago is in rebuild. Toronto, we don't know what's going to happen with them unless, you know, Kyle Lowry, you know, decides to stay up there. So when you look at the Eastern Conference in general, if you're Boston, you're in a pretty good shape. Your only competitor, honestly, is Cleveland, and that's how long LeBron is going to stay. And then LeBron is aging as well. You have a pretty young team out there in Boston, you know. So I think Celtics fans need to kind of just cool it for a little bit. I don't think that he made a bad decision by not going all out for Paul George, because Oklahoma City, I mean, look what they did. They didn't really go all out for Paul George. They gave up two players, as people said, a pack of gum and some chips for Paul George, who's making a connecting flight out to Los Angeles because he's going to be in L.A. next year, and he may end up bringing Russ with him. So depending on if they give some shooters around there, because even if you speak about that trade, it's not like Oklahoma City is that much better now that Paul George is on the team. They still don't have any shooters.
Yeah, and look, they got five guys from Boston, a new addition. One of their hits was called Cool It Now.
Yeah,
Cool It Down before you lose control. That's what Boston needs. They need to listen to their greats. Just cool it down right now. Because, look, you're in a prime position. of dominating the East for a couple of years. Like you said, it's a really big thing. If LeBron does go West, you look at the landscape now. The Wizards, they just re-signed John Wall to the Supermax.
Yeah, well, he's thinking about it. He hasn't agreed yet. He hasn't agreed yet. So it's a Supermax four-year deal, but he's yet to agree to it just yet.
Okay, but do you think he's going to do it?
Honestly, I mean, it depends on what the Wizards are trying to do. If you're John Wall, you're looking around and you're trying to win. I mean, if you want to get money, yeah, you can just sit there and stay and get a Supermax. But the Wizards have always been that in-between team.
Yeah.
And they need to improve that second unit. If I'm John Wall, I'm looking at what Ernie is doing and saying, okay, if we come back with the exact same team next year, the exact same second unit next year, what's the purpose of me resigning?
But wait, you were one game away from going to the conference finals and facing the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that was a seeding issue.
That was a seeding issue, but at the same time, you look at they started out 2-8. You look at all the woes that they had at the beginning of the season. That second unit needs to be altered completely. Only person I'm keeping is maybe Kelly Oubre, if I'm the Wizards. So with that being said, and also you need more points in the paint. You know, Gort Stein, you need to move him. So it's like, it's a couple of things the Wizards need to do in order to be competitive, because if Boston ends up getting Hayward, then that just pushes the Wizards further down, you know, the two line. Yeah, so it's one of those things, like we just both said, hey, if LeBron go West, we didn't say that the Wizards were going to be the best team in the East. We just said that Boston is going to be the best team. So if I'm John Wall, yeah, I'm a little hesitant because I need some people around me. Don't get me wrong, Bradley Beal and him, that backcourt is phenomenal, but that second unit is atrocious.
Well, listen, we're going to talk about the other blockbuster sign and trade when we come back from the break. This is Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, and we'll be back. Glenn, insert commercial. Glenn, we're coming back. Welcome back to the Free Agency Frenzy on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM on your AM dial, Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM. This is Keith Champ Creed with
Josh Benson, your Wizards beat writer.
My man Josh has been all around the city, all around the world, all around the country following basketball. And he just told me how to get the scoop on a travel deal if you're flying Spirit Airlines. But we'll talk about that on another
right,
show.
Right.
But someone that is going to travel that doesn't need any discounts but will probably be packing up his house this weekend is Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, he did a sign and trade deal. He's going down to Houston. He's playing with James Harden. And at first, my reaction to that was, will there be enough basketball to share amongst the two of them?
Right.
Then I thought about who's creating the offensive schemes there, Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? If there is anyone that can create a situation where there is more than enough going on, it will be Mike D'Antoni.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you. The first thought I had was, okay, James Harden for the past few years has been the guy that's running the offense, right?
Yep.
Now you add a guy named Chris Paul, who that's all he knows how to do is run the offense. Somebody got to play off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think about back in his Oklahoma City days, that James Harden did play off the ball. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Again, same situation with Houston. I think this is a nice come up with them getting Chris Paul, but at the same time, I don't think this makes them favorites in the West by no means. I don't think this is a situation where they're going to really be competitive against the Golden State Warriors. They're going to run that conference for the next years to come, even if they do end up losing Iggy. I would like to see Melo join the Houston Rockets.
And it can happen.
It can happen, but does he want to play with D'Antoni again? That's another question.
I think at this point in time, Carmelo Anthony will rather play with the Washington Generals against the Globetrotters than suit up and play for the Knicks at the start of the upcoming season.
Now, I agree with you there, man. That's the only question now, but I mean, I like the moves that Houston is making. I think when you look at the Western Conference and overall, those teams are making moves because they're seeing what's happening in Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
And for so long, everyone just said, okay, you got these top two teams, Cleveland and Golden State, and everybody, you just have 28 other teams that's just there. And what's the purpose? Houston is the fourth largest city in America, one of the largest media markets here in North America. So the question is, you got this great basketball team. Why not build something special for people to come out to the Toyota Center? They already do all these early game incentives for fans and things of that nature. It's a nice culture down there. Why not? And so to add Chris Paul there, I like that for Houston. It's just interesting to hear all the rumors that came about it as far as Doc Rivers and Chris Paul were on the opposite sides of the track because he was showing favoritism to his son and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because you know, the reports came out that there was a trade on the table to bring Carmelo to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, oh, they shot that down.
Right,
And apparently, it was shot down. And a large part of that was due to the fact that Doc Rivers did not want his son to be a part of the trade. And at that point, Chris said, you know what? I'm taking off this insurance, Allstate insurance shirt, not Allstate. What is it, Farmers?
State Farm.
State Farm, taking off the State Farm insurance shirt. Here, y'all could keep that or you could keep my jersey as well. I'm out of here.
He's gone.
You know? And they didn't, Houston gave up a couple pieces.
They gave up a lot.
They gave up Lou Williams.
Yes.
They gave up Patrick Beverly.
Yes.
They gave up Decker.
Yes.
And was there a draft pick involved?
I believe it was next year. I think it was the first round pick, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they gave up a few
this
things.
This is a lot for a one-year rental.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Well, it's a sign and trade. So he signed to the Clippers, so they got him for another few years in Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a sign and trade.
Wait, doesn't he have an option in his contract that he can leave next year?
That I'm not sure, but it was a sign and trade, so I don't know if he has an option or not.
Okay.
But it was the difference between this trade and the Paul George trade is Paul George is definitely out next year.
Yeah, he's gone.
He can go wherever he wants to go. If he want to go to Boston, he can go to Boston. So if I'm Danny Ainge again, that's why I'm not really...
That's why you're not giving up anything.
But as far as the Clippers, if I'm not mistaken, Chris Paul signed like a 4 or 5 year deal and then was subsequently traded to Houston
He is locked in.
So he's locked in if I'm not mistaken.
All right. And, you know, with that, I think Houston, they also re-signed Nene.
Yeah.
And they have a couple of, I can't remember the guys, power forward, played really well. Clint Capella. He's a very good budding development player. So if you're looking to lure Carmelo Anthony in or lure the Knicks into a trade,
yeah,
to which you give it, you have some pieces.
You do.
And then now if you're looking at a lineup of Carmelo Anthony, James Harden, Chris Paul, you have some firepower.
You do. You know, you do. I agree.
You can score, you can run the ball with their style. But my thing is, everyone's tooling up for the Warriors, and you're not going to run them off the court.
You're not.
You have to play a certain... You probably would almost have to play a high level of bully ball and slow it down to actually be competitive, because once you start running back and forth with them, it's not going to be to your advantage. The only team that I think had a good showing even though it lasted about half until Kawhi Leonard got hurt, was San Antonio Spurs, who re-signed Patty Mills for 4 years, $50 million. Did they overpay for Patty Mills?
If I'm Popovich, I mean, you got to appreciate what Patty Mills has done for you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing about the Spurs. They are loyal to a fault. Everyone in the world thought maybe they would go out to some of those point guards that were on the table, maybe even a Derrick Rose from New York. But they stayed with their own guy. And Patty Mills has shown, even when Tony Parker's went down, Patty Mills has shown he can knock down those shots. He can run that offense. I mean, he's shown that he is worth $40 million. So I don't think that they necessarily overpaid for him. They just, you know, showed him love. Hey, you've picked up the slack for us when we needed you, and you've shown yourself, you know, so why not? That was their attitude, it seemed.
Well, some may think Patty Mills was overpaid.
Yeah.
But it's no argument that for the past 4 years, Steph Curry was underpaid.
Oh, for sure.
And Golden State, they rolled up. Now, I would love to hear some cars beeping going in reverse right now because they backed up the Brinks truck for Steph. $200 million, four years. I mean, that type of money is astronomical. LeBron made a tweet, and it showed that, I believe, Daryl Morey, that's the owner of Golden State Warriors,
mm-hmm.
he purchased the Golden State Warriors for about $450 million. And now the Golden State Warriors as a franchise is worth between $2.6 and $2.9 billion.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And you have to attribute that to a couple of factors. You know, you had Jerry West orchestrating. You had Steve Kerr coaching. Yeah. You had Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. But then you also have Mark Jackson.
It all goes back to Mark Jackson.
And I think that Mark Jackson, and for the past 3 years, this is, if you want to talk about an episode of the Twilight Zone where you're like psychologically tortured about what could have been.
Right.
You know, you can't look no further than Mark Jackson, who has to sit on the sideline in the finals and look at what he created to this point. And I mean, some people in NBA circles know what may or may not have happened. But now that I have you, the inside guy, on here, and you know, you, please explain to me, what was it that drew a wedge between Mark Jackson and the management in Oakland that drove him out and brought Steve Kerr in? Because Steve Kerr was supposed to actually be in New York.
Remember, he was going to go to New York, right? So from, as they say, what had happened was, Mark Jackson had a lot of disagreement with a lot of people in upper management. And just like with any job, if you are a lower employee, even if you are the coach, and you start having issues with the upper head.
I mean, was this in terms of player personnel, who he wanted to get in, who he had access to?
I think it was just they didn't click. They had a situation. It was kind of similar to, if you're familiar with Thibodeau and his situation with Gar and Pack. It was a situation similar to that. And so they felt the need, okay, yes, you brought success. You look at the extra 20 wins he brought in a couple of seasons after Steph Curry came in. Yes, you brought success. You made people know where the Golden State Warriors play. If you would ask people 5-6 years ago, they would have no clue who the Warriors were, where they play, who Steph Curry is, any of that. And he brought in a lot of that success. But once they got to that point, they saw, well, hey, we can bring in somebody like Steve Kerr who can get these guys to play at an even more so elite level. He already had all the pieces in. You think about all their guys were drafted. Yeah. Draymond, Clay, Steph, all their guys were drafted. And so he brought in that, and that's how he elevated. But, yeah, when you talk to people in Oakland, they say that Mark Jackson, it was some personnel issues between Mark Jackson and some of the people in upper management, and so they just thought that it was best to just let him go.
Go part ways. Well, you know, one of the things in terms of parting ways, Kevin Durant is going to part ways with a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to take a little bit of a haircut here to make sure the team shores up the gaps on the roster so that way they can remain competitive in defense of their title next year.
Oh, yeah.
Steph got a lot of money. KD's going to take a cut. They re-signed David West.
Yeah.
To keep him for his final year.
Mm-hmm.
What they re-signed Livingston.
Yep.
So what does this mean for the rest of the Golden State Warriors bench?
You're looking at Iguodala right now. And the question is, last time I saw some of the reports were saying he wasn't even meeting with the Warriors. I don't know if that's just, get the media going, because if, you know, Iggy is always doing something, having the media heads talking. But they were saying that he was talking with the Kings and he was talking with the Lakers. I think even without Iggy, the Warriors have been reported looking at Rudy Gay.
So not only would Kevin Durant be taking a pay cut, Rudy Gay would have to take a pay cut to play with the Warriors too.
Well, he got waived by the Kings. So, you know, he's a free agent, so, you know.
But they can't afford. Can they afford to pay him his market value?
I mean, I guess what exactly is his market value is he's coming off an injury. So you can shortchange a guy that's coming off an injury. Plus, what production has Rudy Gay produced since his, like,
Memphis days?
So when you say it that way, I'm not saying they're going to pay him $5 million or nothing like that, but...
Wait, do you think he's going to get J.J. Redick money, 1 year, $23
million? I don't see that. He could probably get 2 years, $20 million or something like that, you know, but no, I definitely don't see him getting J.J. Redick money. But, so that's what they're looking at, but they're still pretty competitive. I mean, the majority of that team is still together. They even got it still in the draft. Who did they just draft? Jordan Bell, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
You know, so that team, again, regardless of how the landscape is ever so changing in the Western Conference, if you're putting your money anywhere, you got to put your money on Golden State. All the chips are still on GSW.
What about if Rudy Gay goes to Houston?
It's until the season actually play out, because one thing you have to remember, it's all about the chemistry. Hey, these names look great on paper, but the question is, can they play together? When you talk about Houston,
yeah,
we say that all the time, and sometimes, you know, we end up looking crazy, right? We all said that with Miami. Oh, is it enough balls, you know, with LeBron and Chris Bosh and D-Wade, and they won a couple of championships down there. But the point that I'm making is that they have to have a year together, in my opinion, under their belts, getting chemistry, you know, together. James Harden hasn't played off ball in, what, 5-6 years? You know, Chris Paul has been running offenses since his Pelican days. You know, so it's like to have people changing roles in the midst of their, you know, past their prime, if you will, like somebody like Chris Paul, to have them just completely doing something totally different, you know, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
And Houston still doesn't play any defense. So, you know,
you're not going to reinvent the wheel.
You're not.
With these guys.
Exactly.
But listen, we're trying to get that J.J. Redick money, too.
Yeah.
And the way we do that is by bringing in our advertisers and our sponsors. So after the break, after we come from commercial, we're going to talk a little bit more about the other key moves that were made. This is the Free Agent Frenzy on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be back in a minute. Glenn, insert commercial.
All right, so what else is Jimmy Butler? Got to talk about Jimmy.
Jimmy, and then Carmelo. We'll go a little bit more in depth with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think then that'd be it.
That was pretty much it.
All right, welcome back to the Free Agent Frenzy, Free Agency Frenzy on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. So, you know, one of the key moves that were that was also made, we're in Chicago now.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting to see the newspapers in the morning after the Jimmy Butler trade. I mean, you expected the fans to storm the United Center with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah.
Because they basically... Okay, first of all, the draft. The Chicago Bulls drafted a player who's how tall? 6'8", 6'9"?
I think they technically 7 feet.
He's listed as 7 feet, but I don't think he's
right.
The full
I think he's
seven.
Like 6'9".
He's not the full seven feet. And his arms are shorter than like the average two guard in the NBA. I can't even remember his name.
Siri didn't know.
Yeah. and then you compound that, not only making a poor draft pick, you send Jimmy Butler in exchange, get Zach LaVine, who Zach is coming off of an injury.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, a lot of potential.
I won't knock that. Potential is a key word in all of this.
That's true.
Then you bring in the point guard from Minnesota.
Was it Chris Dunn?
Chris Dunn, who I think is done. I had him on my fantasy team. He did nothing for me. I had to cut him early in the season. It was a waste of a pick.
That's terrible.
And then you give up a high first-round draft pick as well to Minnesota.
In addition to Jimmy Butler.
That, you know, I don't get... Could you please explain the logic? You're from Chicago.
I'm from Chicago, yeah.
Please explain the logic.
I was a little nervous. I thought they were going to come out with the riot gear. I thought people in Chicago was going to have another Chicago fire. I thought they was going to burn the city down when they saw that trade come through. Look, this is why Jimmy Butler was traded. Jimmy Butler was not getting along with Coach Fred Hoiberg. There were so many different rumors that you hear out of the United Center about Jimmy Butler and Fred. He was all in Fred's face, saying really derogatory things towards Fred, you know, just completely blatantly disrespectful towards Fred. And so upper management felt like Jimmy was just too much and he has to go. Mm-hmm. Now, why did they give Jimmy away for what they did? And then to who they gave him to. They gave him back to Thibodeau up in Minneapolis. I don't get that one. But, hey, if you're Minnesota, you like what type of team you have now, right? You know, you got Jimmy Butler. You got Andrew Wiggins. You got Karl Anthony Towns.
You got
a pretty good squad.
And then they just signed
Jeff Teague. You know, now I don't know what Thibodeau was thinking about with that one, because it's like you gave away Rubio, who was a great passer, for Jeff Teague, who is not as a great passer, but can shoot a little more than Rubio.
And his durability as well. Because Rubio, he's often injured.
Well, this is true.
And Jeff Teague, he'll be there for you at least 80 of the 82 games.
I give you that. So maybe that was his thinking. But, yeah, Minnesota is looking good. Again, just like a lot of other teams in the Western Conference. But if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, just some more mediocrity.
Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
That's who they got.
Yeah. Just more mediocrity. And they're dealing with enough of that with their other professional teams other than the Cubs here in Chicago. So
where do you think Rondo lands?
Well, Rondo was waived. Now, they say they may try to bring him back for lesser money. Perhaps Rondo may go to the Clippers. Maybe he'll rejoin Doc. Maybe.
Good idea.
Maybe.
They're short at that position now.
They are. Blake is going to be the point guard now.
And listen, hold on. Rondo did more than any player in the history of the NBA by missing games than he did playing.
Yeah.
Because when he played this past postseason, you saw the impact of Rondo. not only on a game-to-game basis,
yes,
but for the entire series.
Oh, for sure.
He proved himself to be a player that can change the dynamic of an entire series. So, Rondo, kudos to you by making yourself some money from missing games.
Oh, for sure, because Rondo showed you that if the Bulls would have had him when they played Boston, there would have never been a Boston Cavaliers series. There would have never been a Wizards Celtics series. So that's how dynamic, you know, Rondo was. That's how influential he was to the game. When he went down, the Bulls went down.
And what do you think that means for Dwayne Wade, who's kind of like the last man on a sinking ship?
Oh, if I'm Dwayne Wade, man, I'm taking my money.
Mm-hmm. Pay me.
Pay me.
Mm-hmm.
Pay me. Pat Riley didn't want to pay you. Pay me. Give me my $23 million. I'm going to sit down and chill and be a good little mentor to all my mentees, all the young guys, the Zach Levines and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to trip and fall and get injured, and I'm just going to collect money off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Pay me. And I'm right here in Chicago. You might as well retire as a Bull. Why not? Pay me my $23
million. Yeah.
People would say, oh, he's going to opt out now. No way. No way.
He wants his money.
He got 23 million reasons to just sit here and enjoy and bask into the city of Chicago.
And his wife ain't going to let him walk away from that much money.
Oh, no. Gabrielle is not going. Gabby is not going for that. No.
No. And we got Tony Snell not too far up the road in Milwaukee. He resigned for a little bit over $10 million a year for the next 4 years.
Happy for Tony.
I'm happy for Tony. And I think what Milwaukee did last year, you know, they didn't push the Raptors as far as I thought they could.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, they had a great showing.
They did.
They showed that, you know, I think this is one of the teams in the East, as you said before. There's Cleveland, there's Boston,
yeah,
and then there's the rest of the pack. You know, you never know. The you might get a fourth seed by being like 38-42.
Yeah.
Or 38-44,
yeah,
I should say, next year. You know, and that's a team like Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Whereas by all of the free agent movement, a team like Milwaukee, young core, solid core, plays together, there's addition by subtraction.
Exactly.
They'll move up.
Yeah.
You know, a team like Charlotte, which was on the cusp of making the playoffs with Kemba Walker, they got Dwight Howard, which remains to be seen how he's going to turn out while
right,
he's there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they move up. The,
yep,
the Pacers obviously move down.
They're going backwards.
You got Washington. I think they stay where they are. And then at the bottom of the barrel, you have the New York Knicks, who, after Phil Jackson was fired, you have this fiasco with Phil. It's just a mess. It's a horrid mess. And me being from New York City, I can't stomach it anymore. And I just say, you know, send Carmelo to where he wants to go, but get something in exchange. Don't just send him, you know, anywhere for nothing. I think you blew it by not taking Malik Monk.
Yeah.
You know, my man Fred Nicotina. I don't know his name. I'm just calling him Fred Nicotina. His name is Frank, but we're going to call him Fred Nicotina.
Just going to give him a new name.
Just going to give him a new name because the fans aren't going to care anyway.
Right. I mean, y'all did KP like that. That's what's wrong with New Yorkers. Y'all did KP like that. And then when the rumors were that KP was getting traded, y'all was getting ready to burn down the Apple. I don't understand y'all New Yorkers.
Well,
understand.
No, here's the thing.
Put me on game.
Well, Chris does, right?
Yeah.
We were like, who the fuck is that guy?
Right.
Right. But at the end of the day, you know, he's a 7-foot guy, long, lanky, could run the floor. You started to see, like, well, you know what? At least he's not Frederick Weiss.
Right.
And he can run.
Okay.
And he's not hurt. And then when Summer League came around, you were like, okay, we heard some good things. So going into the season, it kind of changed.
It did.
You know, it went from draft night, Summer League, changed, going into the season, positive. Fred Nicotina got hurt already. They said in his first practice he was hurt. You know, I mean, he's a young kid, and, you know, when the ceiling for someone like that that's 18, 19 years old,
yeah,
you know, you can't really put a cap on the ceiling, but it's not a good sign.
That's
it's
true.
Never been a good sign. There's no good signs pointing to success in Madison Square Garden at any time.
No.
Carmelo, you know, I didn't agree with him coming to New York via
yeah.
trade. I knew he was going to come there anyway, so why not come with Wilson Chandler and Gallinari?
Yeah.
Danilo Gallinari's a free agent. Where do you think he went?
It's a good question. I don't know, man. Where, who needs
he's on that Rudy Gay plan where he was hurt, so
yeah,
it's like you gotta prove yourself.
You gotta prove yourself.
Jazz?
Okay. I can go with the Jazz.
Yeah, I think he fits.
I can go with the Jazz.
Yeah. If Gordon Hayward goes to Boston, then Utah has a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And Utah made a key acquisition too. in the free agency. I'm trying to think. We'll get back to who.
Oh yeah, Paul Millsap. Yeah, they got a lot of people trying to engage him in some trade talks. Gary Harris of the Denver Nuggets. He's down there in Atlanta right now talking with Paul Millsap, trying to convince him to join the Denver Nuggets. Because, I mean, again, Denver, that's another one of those teams. They're trying to get, you know, some moves so they can be competitive as well. You got a lot of talent down there. You know, might as well try to make something happen. So that was just the latest report just moments ago coming across the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming across the wire, I think that, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot that will go on.
Yeah.
When we come back from our last break, we're going to talk about trusting the process.
Yeah.
The Sixers and that J.J. Redick money, baby.
Woo, J.J.
Redick.
When
we come back, he came up. J.J. Redick be at the club making it rain. He definitely going
to
make it rain now.
He's going to make it rain.
He's going to make it rain now. But we'll be back. Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. Back after these messages. Glenn, insert commercial. So we'll finish up with J.J. Redick,
okay.
Sixers, the East, and then let's take a preview into Summer League.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back. We're glad that you trusted the process of this free agent frenzy program, and we hope that we can bump into J.J. Redick at some point in time this summer so we can hang out with him because drinks are on J.J.
Drinks are on J.J.
Listen, the Philadelphia 76ers, a player like Joel Embiid comes along once a generation
yeah.
in terms of his charisma and ability to galvanize a base of a losing franchise. And he did all of this. They didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
But you're excited. I'm excited, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
To see what's going to happen with Ben Simmons.
I'm very excited.
How Markelle Fultz is going
to
play. See if J.J. Redick is worth that $23-24 million that they gave him for 1 year. I mean, what is your outlook on the Philadelphia 76ers going into next season?
I think they're going to get an additional 15 to 20 games this season. You're in the Eastern Conference and your competition level is continuing to go down. Something we used to say in Chicago is that the Bulls used to play down to their competition.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Bulls are like the lower teams. And one of those teams were the 76ers, we would say that about. So the 76ers kind of level of competition is continually to rise, right? And as you just mentioned, Embiid just said yesterday on Twitter, he said those playoff spots are opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they are. Paul George is gone, you know, and things like that. So we don't know what's going on with New York. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs anyway. But the point that I'm making is that the Philadelphia 76ers is already an exciting team, and definitely Ben Simmons is a guy that I've been personally knowing since his LSU days. I remember Bennett's friend on Snapchat taking pictures of LSU for him, showing him his new school. So I am excited to see him in Las Vegas for NBA Summer League and what he's going to bring to the table. And as you just mentioned, Markel and the rest of those guys, I mean, I can see them sneaking into the playoffs. I don't want to overdo the Eastern Conference like it's that terrible. I mean, you still get teams like Atlanta and teams like that that are going to make it to the playoffs. But if they can all get it together, especially in Summer League, and then show it during the regular season, I don't see why they can't be an 8 seed.
I think even higher if they're healthy.
Yeah, that's true too.
I think, you know, because they say rising tides raise all ships.
Yeah.
But when you empty the sewer, those diamonds in the shit start to shine. Sorry, Glenn, you got to bleep that one out.
Right.
But the way the East is set up now, I see the Sixers getting maybe a 6 seed.
Oh, so give me your top 8 right quick.
In the East right now.
Right now.
Okay,
the playoffs for the start today.
All right.
Who will be in the top 8?
All right, so LeBron's going to be on vacation for a lot of games. And
okay.
You know what all of this does? It preserves LeBron.
Yeah.
Because now he doesn't have to play back-to-back games.
Not at all.
He doesn't have to play back-to-back. You look at your schedule, if you see, okay, we have, if you play the Sixers, that's going to be tough.
Right.
But if you have the Pacers, if you have the Heat,
the Bulls,
you know, if you have the Bulls, like, you can take some of these games off.
Yeah,
Brooklyn. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can take the whole week off if you're playing Brooklyn
right.
I'd take the whole week.
Yeah.
You know, this helps preserve the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Cleveland number one. I changed that. Boston number one.
Okay.
I think they still have what it takes to be a strong regular season team.
Okay.
Cleveland number two.
Okay.
Same. They haven't made any moves, but, you know, it remains to be seen. The Wizards, number three.
Yeah.
Right? And when you go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't think Atlanta's in there anymore.
Okay.
I think you replace Atlanta with Philadelphia. I think Charlotte gets in there.
Okay.
Now, Toronto, I don't know if Kyle Lowry's going to re-sign, but if he does, I think Toronto gets in there.
Okay.
And then from that point on, I mean, I don't think Indiana's going to make it, but Miami was actually impressive at the close of the season.
I'll give you that, yeah.
You know, so they may be able to put it together and keep it together consistently, and I say Miami actually creeps in.
Okay.
You know, so
okay.
From the fourth to the eighth seed, it's going to be a toss-up.
It's going to be a toss-up.
How about you?
Pretty much, I'm with the same.
What are your top eight in the West now? Just up to this point, because we know things are going to change.
You got to go number one, Golden State.
Of course.
I mean, that's number one. I'm still saying San Antonio number two.
All right.
Just based on their chemistry. Number three, I'll go Houston.
All right.
Number four.
Now, wait. If Houston gets Melo, do you think they move into the number two spot?
Depends. I mean, two and three would be almost interchangeable. They would just be like a few games, you know, from each other. So if you say Golden State, you say San Antonio, you say Houston, then my three through eight would probably, my four through eight would probably be, this is hard. I guess you could say Oklahoma,
yeah.
Utah, now I need two more. Portland is still going to be in there somewhere. You can't forget about PJ and Dan. The eighth seed, it could be in between Minnesota. It could be in between, I don't really see the Lakers doing nothing this year. I mean, they're going to get some more wins. I'll get an eighth seed to Minnesota. They were supposed to be in it last year, or Denver. Minnesota or Denver. Because they were in playoff contention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still riding off the Pelicans. Because I did not agree with giving
Drew Holiday $126 million.
They gave him enough money to buy part of, you know, some of these buildings downtown. And I just don't appreciate that. I feel like if New Orleans was smart, they would have went after Derrick Rose. And here's why. Because if you want to sell tickets, you put AD with Derrick Rose. That's the Chicago connection there in the city of New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
which there's not really that many Pelican fans as it is anyway. But people would have came out for that. New Orleans has a huge connection with Chicago. It's being in the central of the United States. They would have loved that. And then number two, I just feel like Derrick would have definitely been able to play with Boogie and AD,
yeah.
In my opinion. You gave Drew Holiday $100-something million.
That's the
NBA is just kind of getting a little crazy.
That's the Calipari connection.
Man,
with Derrick Rose,
yeah.
That would have worked.
That would have worked, in my opinion. But they gave Drew $100-something million. I feel like the NBA need to donate to my GoFundMe. They're going to be just giving away money like this. They need to donate to my GoFundMe. They need to run advertising with us. They need to give us something.
Yeah, well, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to try to find J.J. Redick.
Right.
And see if he can donate to our GoFundMe at the Las Vegas Summer League.
We would definitely find him.
We will keep up with you. We'll keep you up to speed with all the free agent acquisitions. We'll keep you up to speed with who's looking good, who's looking great, and who's looking trash at the Summer League. Hopefully Fred Nicotina won't be there stinking up the joint. But listen, this is Champ Creed.
Josh Vincent.
For Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM. Thank you for listening to the Free Agency Frenzy, and we'll be back next week.